Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
It's the Garden Hotline on this snowy, crazy Saturday. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, your host and director of horticulture at Pointer Landscape. And I just literally walked in the door after, you know, driving here. I come in from St. Charles every Saturday, and it took me well over an hour and a half to get here.
It's kind of,
it is nutty out there. You know, I looked out the window and I was like, oh, wow, it actually happened. You know, like, because who actually thought when they went to bed last night that there was going to be snow on the ground today?
Well, when I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, it was like, well, it wasn't snowing. There was snow on my car.
Yeah.
Just brushed it off with the windshield wipers. I was like, okay, well, we got a little bit of snow. That's that.
Yeah.
But by the time I got to the studio, thankfully, when I drove in, the roads were fine. And I thought that's the way it was going to stay. But it did not stay that way.
It didn't.
Snow has been coming down furiously since then.
Yeah. When I went outside, there was probably already 4, maybe 5 inches of snow on my car that I, you know, just lovingly cleaned off. I wasn't ready. So I hadn't gotten out my little snow broom or whatever for the car. I wasn't prepared, so I was a little grumpy. Actually texted our producer James and was like, well, I don't know what the procedure for snow days are. But I got in the car and I was like, this is fine, it's totally fine. But as you got on the highway and as I think it just got kind of compacted, we're right at that freezing line, so it's just super duper slippery underneath all that snow. So a little treacherous on the way in this morning.
And I would have, if I had known, I would have said, stay home and we'll run a rerun. But
well,
you got here.
Listen.
So we appreciate the effort. But I would advise people, if you don't have to go out,
yeah,
seriously,
stay home.
I know you always hear that, but these
seriously.
Roads are bad today.
No,
they're worse than we could have thought based on the forecast.
And I like driving in the snow. I'm one of those weirdos that kind of like it, but it is too much. It's definitely, you know, one of those days where you need to wait it out and wait for some of this to get cleared, because, you know, there are people out there that actually are plowing the roads, that are, you know, our first responders and all of that need to stay safe as well. And if all of us, you know, we're these yahoos out there driving around and getting stuck and they're needing to attend to us, that means they can't plow the roads, or they're putting themselves in danger, you know, because we're driving around. And for me, I'm a gardener, you know, like this is the snow day. What I typically do on a day like this is I stumble out, I look out the window and I say, well, that's it for today. And I either make a cup of coffee and watch it snow, or I go right back to bed. And this gig does not allow that. I had to actually, you know, put some shoes on and go out into the world.
Lazy gardener. That's what you called yourself.
And I am a lazy gardener, and this is not lazy.
Yeah. Well, you said you came in on 70, right? From
yes.
St. Charles area?
Yeah.
You know, 70 in the finest weather conditions imaginable.
Yes.
Sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today, it's really horrible.
Yeah. And it was fine. It got a little dicey around the airport, and then it seemed like it cleared back up again. And then I actually ended up getting off of the highway. I'm not really good at these exits, but you know, before I kind of got into the city, I got off of the highway because it was just, there were tractor trailers that were not able to get up. You know, it gets a little hilly and they just can't get traction. Cars with like the rear wheel drive were not going anywhere. So there was just people sideways on the road. Nobody was getting through. So I hopped off and just went Natural Bridge all the way into downtown. It was way better than taking the highway out, that's for sure.
Well, you're a trooper to be here.
Yes.
And we salute you for doing it.
Yeah.
The good thing is, I would think there are people sitting at home right now drinking their coffee, looking out at the pretty snow and thinking of questions
yes,
to ask you.
Yes, they should
for the
call
garden.
In. This is like the perfect time to ask your garden questions. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call. I think the text lines are open as well. So if you are too shy to call in and ask your question, that is a great way to get your question answered as well. But we'll should definitely have plenty of time to ask your question, because the only kind of work you'd be doing out in the yard is shoveling snow. And we all know that's not what we want to be doing right now. So happy to answer all your gardening questions. Again, that phone number, 314-436-7900. What time did you come in?
You know, four something.
Yeah, so it hadn't started.
It wasn't bad then. It's gotten really bad. Does snow shoveling count as gardening?
Sure. It's a shovel. I think it does.
It's a shovel. It's
Shovel equals gardening, no matter if it's soil or snow. I mean, it's totally a thing.
Snow in a garden is beautiful.
It is. And this is exactly, and this snow.
This kind of snow.
Is so like heavy and wet, and it's just like clinging to all of the branches. So when I left, it was, you know, it was still dark. So all of the streetlights were kind of illuminating all of that snow on the branches. And I was thankful that I was out, only because I got to see that beautiful, even looking out the windows here at the studio, you know, just to see that snow on the leaves that are still remaining on the oak trees and the bare branches. It's a beautiful snow. It's one of my favorite types.
It is. And we don't get that often in terms of the pretty snow. It's often some sort of mixture or slushy mess that isn't very fun to look at, especially on the roadways and the trees. So this one's nice.
It is nice. But you do have to be careful when it gets really heavy. I did see some of the branches starting to kind of droop over. You know, when this heavy, wet snow is sitting on our branches, this is prime time to see broken branches on trees, even shrubs that are really leaning over. So if it gets too heavy on maybe like your evergreens, your arborvitaes are known to split a little bit whenever it gets too much snow on those branches. So if you see that starting to happen, and you can take a shovel or a broom or something out and knock some of it off so you can maybe avoid some broken branches with some of this beautiful heavy snow. But hey, looks like we have a text. It says, hi, we bought two beautiful poinsettias at a greenhouse. They had them pretty wet. Should we keep them that way? They are looking great. So it's a great, topic right now. Everybody's out, starting to decorate for Christmas. I know a lot of people got poinsettias before the Thanksgiving holiday. I was out last week at Chesterfield Valley Nursery, our show sponsor, and we talked a little bit about poinsettias, actually went home with one. And she told us that poinsettias actually don't need to be watered that much, which is a good thing for me because I always take plants home to die. And part of that is because I forget to water. So she was saying about once a week, maybe a half a cup, depending on the size of that pot that you're in. But they're native to Mexico. So you think about Mexico in general is a drier. They do have deserty areas. So those poinsettias don't necessarily want to have wet feet all the time. They like to dry out a little bit in between watering. So that is good for me because, again, I'm, you know, the lazy gardener. I take plants home to die, but I did take home a beautiful poinsettia from them last week. And hopefully I can at least keep it alive till Christmas. That's the goal. So if you guys have any questions, the number to call or text, again, 314-436-7900. We'll take a quick break and be back with your questions on the Garden Hotline, 1041 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline on this snowy, cold Saturday morning. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host today and the director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape here in St. Louis. The number for you guys to call to ask me your garden related questions, 314-436-7900. You can also text that line if you guys don't want to call in and be on air. Just send us a text at that same number and we can get to that as soon as we can. You know, today is Small Business Saturday, so this weather outside is probably putting a little bit of a damper on that. I know that there are so many local nurseries and, you know, garden centers out there that rely on days like this, Small Business Saturday and these busy holiday shopping weekends for, you know, some of their revenue. It's important for us to try to support those. And I know that today we're telling you all to stay home. But I wanted to mention a few today. I wanted to call out a few of my local favorites and places that are really great for us to, as gardeners, to shop and visit as opposed to going to, you know, some of the big box stores. But one of the ones that I'm really interested in right now, mostly because I just got their big catalog delivered in my mailbox last week, but it's a company called Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. You can find them at rareseeds.com. But this is a great local company. They're actually up in Louisiana. They're in Mansfield, Missouri, and they do a really good job on focusing and preserving heirloom seeds, and they're really trying to work on creating a good sense of community through gardening. And their website is really great. They have veggie seeds, cut flower seeds. You can find gifts for gardeners on there, tools, fertilizers. Books. They also do a weird thing, maybe not so weird, a sourdough starter that they have that you can order from them. I know a lot of people got into that during COVID time. I'm not sure how many people are still out there trying to do that bread making, which I've always wanted to do but never really got into. But they're really great, a great company. They have great product. All of their seeds are heirloom seeds, which means that you can save the seeds from the fruit or the flowers and use them year after year. They actually really promote that. Even though they are selling seeds, they really want us to be able to save seeds and use them over and over again, share them with your friends or your neighbors. But that's a great one to support on our Small Business Saturday. You don't actually have to go out and brave this crazy weather. You can go right to their website. Again, it was called rareseeds.com. They're up in Mansfield, Missouri, but a great, great company. And their catalog is beautiful. If you've never received one of their catalogs in the mail, some folks out there in the gardening world, it's one of the things that they look forward to this time of year is getting those gardening seed magazines and plant magazines in the mail. And this one, I think, might be one of the most beautiful. You can request a catalog from their store. They have a free version, and then they have another version. It's called the Whole Seed Catalog, and that one you have to pay for, but it gives you so much information that you can use to start your garden. And believe it or not, I know that we're almost in December, but it is definitely time to start thinking about our gardens for next year. You know, a lot of the seeds that we need to start in our maybe our garages or our basements this winter, we probably should start thinking about ordering those now. You know, seeds also, little seed packets also make great stocking stuffers for your gardening, your loved ones that are into gardening. You know, they fit really great down into those stockings. So a good idea to start thinking about it now. Maybe you're getting out your little gardening journal that we talked about last winter, and you're looking through there and you're thinking and evaluating what did well for you in your, not only your veggie garden, but even in your, you know, your ornamental flower beds. What did well for you? What didn't? You know, are there new things out that you want to try growing in your veggie garden for next year? It's, again, a great time to look through those catalogs and start seeing what kind of seeds you want to purchase, how you might want to lay out your garden next year. Again, what worked, what didn't work for you? You know, do we need to amend the soil right now? I mean, maybe not today because there's snow on the ground, but fall slash early winter is a great time to add amendments to our veggie beds and our garden beds so that it's ready to go for us in the early spring when temperatures are starting to warm up. We've already taken care of all of that business now so that we're ready to just go ahead and plant and when the time comes. But again, Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, a great source for that. And I need to do it. I think, you know, I say every year that I'm going to get into the veggies. It's one of the areas that I'm not as familiar with. You know, I do residential ornamental horticulture. So the veggie part of things hasn't always been on the forefront of my mind, but it is something that I grew up with. You know, I grew up with a grandfather who was a farmer in central Illinois, and he and my grandmother always had a huge garden throughout the summer. And I have fond memories of following them around and picking fruit before it was ready, or picking those cucumbers before they were ready, and annoying them. But a lot of my childhood memories were spent in the veggie garden. And it's one of those things that I, as an adult, want to try to learn about and do a better job. You know, this year I did a ton of tomatoes over the winter. I started a bunch, and I think I only ended up with two or three, maybe four varieties over the summer. And really, the only one that did well was one that I actually, you know, grew last year, that I was a little bit of a messy gardener, and some of it, you know, we had a ton of volunteers this year, but the plant itself just kind of went nuts and took off. It was a little yellow cherry tomato variety. And that was the one that's always the one that is the best performer for me. And I think the two other ones that I grew were Shimmer, which is a Baker Creek variety that I got from them. And that is a great tomato if you're interested in that. But check them out. Great source for seeds. It looks like we have another text. Trying to read it here. It's interesting because it comes in weird little increments. It says, "Happy Thanksgiving. We have an area on the front of our house facing south that kills any shrubs we plant. We've tried, looks like hollies and all types of shrubs. They last 3 to 4 years and then slowly die. Our hollies are dying now. This has happened for 30 years. So it sounds like maybe a soil test would be my first step. If you have an area where, especially this says it's been happening for over 30 years, I would start with a soil test and see what that's going to reveal. There might be something in the soil that maybe isn't something that is killing your plants immediately, but it's something that contributes to the overall health of the plant. And if something is wrong with the soil, that can slowly kill your plant over what looks like a 3 to 4 year period. And that's typically the amount of time, you know, we normally say 2, 3, even sometimes 4 seasons for a shrub to really start doing well, or any plant to really get rooted in and start doing what we want them to do, or what the picture in our mind is telling us they should be looking like. So I would start with a soil test. You know, if you hadn't said that this has been happening for 30 years, I would contribute it to the crazy weather that we've been having for the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 seasons, and the fluctuating temperatures and the fluctuating drought and the weather events where we're getting 7 inches of water in an hour. You know, those things have really contributed to the health of our plants, and really contributed to the struggle of new plants getting established. But it sounds like it's been happening for you for quite some time. So my number one piece of advice for that is start with the soil. You can't see what's going on under there. And without that soil test, you don't really know. So they're relatively easy to do. The University of Missouri Extension Office here in both St. Charles and St. Louis County offer it for pretty cheap. I feel like it's around $30 or $40. You'll have to check their website. But they have great videos on their website on how to take a proper soil test, whether you're doing it in a garden bed or you're doing it in a turf area. They have some great videos that show you how to collect that soil sample, how much you need, how far down you need to dig in the process. But really, you can show up with your sample at that extension office. They can help you fill out that paperwork, and then they send the sample off to Columbia to do all the testing. And then, you know, 2, 3 weeks later, you get this nice little report back in the mail or in your email that basically tells you what's going on with your soil. They'll give you instructions if you need to do amendments. They can give you instructions on what needs to be put in your soil in order to make it better. But that would be at the University of Missouri Extension Office. But check that out. I always recommend soil tests, especially if you have struggling plants. You never know what's going on under there, especially if you're a new gardener. And don't forget your veggie beds too. It's always, you know, veggies need a lot of nutrients and a lot of things. So don't sleep on getting a soil test for your veggie beds too. We're going to take a quick break. 314-436-7900. That is the number to call or text to ask your questions. This is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And I am here answering all of your garden-related questions. I was going to say fall garden questions, but today is very winter-like out there. So if you have any questions about gardening or anything plant-related, give us a call, 314-436-7900. That's also our text line, so send us your questions. If you don't want to call in and chat with me, I will be sad, but I will read your text message. We do have a caller on the line, so we're going to go straight to Sherry. Sherry, you are on the Garden Hotline. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, good morning. I am a proverbial color person, so I keep plants as long as I can outside, or at least as long as the weather will permit. I have some pansies, and I have had them last all winter long into spring if the winter is agreeable. Now, if it doesn't get down to freezing 5 days in a row or something. But now that we've got the snow, I'd like to know how to, I don't know, not bring them back, I guess, but maybe help them along. I'll put it that way. The snow's on top of them. They're all snuggled in there. But I need to know, do I need, after all that melts and stuff, do I need to leave them alone? Or water them, or not water them. Good grief, all the snow melt and stuff. Yeah. But whatever information you have about little old pansies would be appreciated.
Great question, Sherry. Thanks for the call. I love pansies because they are, you can totally kind of neglect them. And lo and behold, you'll go out on a, you know, a warmer late winter day, and there is a bloom waiting for you. So for me, I don't do a lot with the pansies that I leave outside. And the snow today is actually really good. Snow is an incredible insulator. So even when or if these temperatures get down below freezing, that snow is kind of covering and protecting those plants underneath it. So as that snow melts, it's actually another really great thing for plants, both in pots and in the ground, is that it's a typically a really slow watering as that snow melts. So it's a really great way to get a deep soaking watering for our plants. So definitely won't need to water after this for a while, I suspect, but I wouldn't do anything. You know, again, lazy gardener here. I've said it a few times on this show and other shows, but I, you know, like I like to leave them alone and see what happens. As most of the time, as long as they stay watered throughout the winter, even if they freeze, they will, you know, to some degree bounce back. Maybe not every single one of them, but as long as that watering still occurs and they don't get super dried out at any point, then I think they'll be fine.
Okay, well, we'll try that. And I have a second question, which is, you were just talking about amending the garden dirt. And what would you, at this time of year, what do you recommend to put into the garden to bring it up to snuff? Because mine's kind of weak in the nutrients, I think, field.
Yeah, so again, I like to start with that soil test. So we don't always know what is needed in our soil, especially, you know, I'm not sure if you have like a raised bed or if it's directly into your native soil. You know, if you've used bags of compost or whatnot, everybody's soil conditions are different. So so that soil test A is the best option to start with. But a lot of times just working in compost or any other organic material into the soil is great this time of year. So it gets time to kind of work in there and start, you know, doing its thing. But, you know, you think about veggies and they really like rich organic soil. So getting that kind of stuff back in there is really great. But I would definitely start with that soil test to see, maybe you don't need anything right now. Maybe your soil is perfect and you won't have to add anything. But typically it's something, you know, as simple as just adding some compost.
Well, all I know is the weeds like it a lot.
Yeah, the weeds love
mine. So it must be perfect for somebody.
Yeah, the weeds love my garden as well. So I don't even, you guys, I was out working in the garden last week and I had some pokeweed in one of my beds that is covered. It's a berry, strawberry bed that I keep covered. And the pokeweeds got so big, they were poking through the fencing and all of that. And it was, you know, I would be embarrassed, I would say, if people came to my yard. Everybody always thinks, oh, you must have the most beautiful yard and garden. And I do, but I also, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I have huge weeds and I neglect things and it got hot and all of that stuff. But yeah, weeds love my garden too.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Up next, we're going to go straight to Linda. Linda, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, thank you so much for braving the weather to get there. That's amazing. I thought, oh, they'll probably just have somebody else filling in for you. That's really nice, but be careful on the way home. I texted in a question about poinsettias, but I then wasn't listening all the time. And I don't know if you answered that.
I did.
Oh,
but that's okay. Yeah. So, yeah, Linda, the poinsettias, I'm happy to answer it again because I think, you know, if your people are just tuning in, they might have the same question. But poinsettias, I learned last week when I was out at Chesterfield Valley Nursery, Andrea told me that these poinsettias are, you know, they're native to Mexico, so they don't actually need that much watering, which I thought was a good thing because I tend to neglect my houseplants. But about once a week, you should check those. And depending on the size of your pot, it's going to be about a half a cup-ish of water. But you definitely want to let those dry out in between waterings. And most of these poinsettias come in a plant medium that really holds on to a lot of water for growing purposes and selling. So I would just, before watering your poinsettia, stick your finger down in the soil. If it feels wet, don't water it. And if it feels dry, go ahead and give it a drink. She was also saying that poinsettias are really strong, and they give out really strong indicators when they are thirsty. They'll start, their leaves will gently start rolling under, so that would be a good indication that they're thirsty. Now, you don't want to let them get, dehydrated and get really wilty, but if you just kind of wait till you just see that little bit of wilt happening, then give them a drink, or just make sure you're not giving them too much water, because they will drop leaves and not be happy if they're constantly wet.
Why do they? I wonder why they keep them so wet in the greenhouse.
So when they're doing, a lot of these come in as rooted cuttings, or they're just doing cuttings. And so when they're young like that, they need that constant moisture in order for them to set roots and grow. But once they get more established, then they don't need as much water.
Okay. All right. Good advice. Thank you very much. And Merry Christmas to you. I guess Thanksgiving's over. I don't know.
Happy holidays. We are just right in the thick of all of it. So thanks for the call and and the text. All right. Up next, we're going to go to Pat. Pat, you are on the line. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you very much. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas
out
there.
It really is.
I have a Thanksgiving cactus, and I've never had one before, but it has bloomed quite pretty, but I don't know why. So I need someone to tell me how to care for it in terms of water and light and what to expect from it and how long it's going to bloom and anything you know about it.
Yeah, so these are really popular. In fact, these have been in my life for as long as I can remember. My grandmother, when I was a little girl, had this massive Christmas cactus in this huge pot in her room. And it always amazed me. I'd never seen like a house plant that big and never really paid much attention to it. And I used to get in trouble because I would pluck the little segments off, and she would really get mad at me. But these are really great this time of year. Obviously, we have Christmas cactus. There's the Thanksgiving cactus, which should be blooming now. And there's an Easter cactus, and they have, all these crazy colors these days. It used to just be like a pink, and a red was very common, but they have peaches and all kinds of really cool colors. I even saw one the other day that had a darker purple leaf, which was really pretty. But these guys are, it says cactus in the name, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Not all cactus like it super dry. There are different types of cactus. There are, desert cactus, and there are forest cactus. And these Christmas/Thanksgiving cactus are a type of forest cactus, so they can take more water than a typical cactus. If you have other cactus in your home, you may only need to water it once a month or once every couple of months. But the Christmas cactus or Thanksgiving cactus is going to want a little bit more water than that. In fact, like you guys, when you propagate these, you can break a piece off and stick it straight into water and let those roots grow in that water. So they can take a little bit more water than you would think with the name cactus, with the word cactus in their name. So I like to water mine about once a week. I have mine in a pot that has a really good drain hole. I also have mine in some soil that doesn't hold a ton of moisture. It has a little bit more of a chunky, sandy mix, so that it doesn't hold as much moisture. So I'm watering mine about once a week, and depending on the size of your pot, will determine how much you're going to water it. But I would say in general, maybe around a half a cup. But you want to get it really wet, and then make sure, again, you have a drain hole so that any of that excess water can drain out and it's not sitting in water. But just keep it. You can let it dry out, but not all the way. It's going to want a little bit more water, but probably once a week. And these guys bloom, they can bloom a couple of times a year, depending on what type you have. But again, right now is a very common time for them to be blooming now. And it usually lasts, a few weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. And then it loses those blooms. And then it kind of just hangs out there for a while. But I think it's a cool looking plant, whether it's blooming or not. It's kind of like looks a little bit like a succulent and got like some wild hair and some a little bit of whimsy to it. But super easy one to maintain, even if it does get a little dry. They're forgiving. So
Okay, so you water from the top and not from the bottom?
Yeah, you can. Either way is good. I like to water these because it's such a small pot. I like to water these from the top and then let all that water, make sure all that water drains out of its tray or anything below and then empty that out.
Okay.
And then, you know, make sure it's just draining. We just don't want it to sit in water all the time.
Got it. Okay, thanks a bunch. I'm going to try to keep it alive.
You can do it. I believe in you. All right, guys, that'll do it for this segment. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list. At prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, your host and the director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape. That is my day job, but today I am here answering your questions about gardening and plants and anything you can think of. 314-436-7900, that is the number to call or text. We have Kurt on the line. He's been waiting for a little bit. Kurt, go ahead with your question.
Well, good morning, Michelle. Thanks for taking my call. I'm thinking about chipping up my cut honeysuckle. Am I creating another additional problem for myself by doing that?
No, we've talked about this on the show before. I think that it's totally fine. You know, one of the things that we talked about is, you know, one of the ways that honeysuckle becomes invasive is when, you know, the berries, they have berries and then the birds eat them and then they kind of spread them all over. So that is a way that they become weedy. So there's not really a part of their bark or anything like that that is an invasive part. So if you're grinding all of that up and using it as a mulch, it should be fine. Again, it's the berries that are the part of the plant that that are a problem. It's the seed really inside the berries that are being, you know, dispersed by birds and other means.
Yeah, I wasn't sure by dispersing it in mulch. No, out into my woods.
Yeah.
But, I got to do something because this time of year really magnifies how bad the problem is.
Yeah, it is. And we talked about this last week. I mean, it's a great time to kind of identify it, before today. And maybe still today, I didn't notice, but all of the areas along the highways, along our woods and things like that are still bright green. And those areas that are, 8 to 10 feet tall with bright green leaves still on it, that's honeysuckle. So it's a great time to kind of identify it still. I think we got a little bit of time, maybe after these cold temps, we're probably past that, but they're one of the last things to hold on to their leaves in the fall. And they also, a lot of them have bright red berries on them right now that the birds are eating. So fall is a great time to cut them back, a great time to treat with herbicide so that it takes it down into the roots. But yeah, I think that you can, again, berries, seeds, that's your biggest.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the question. We only have about a minute left, so I'm going to go to our text line. So if you guys are waiting on the phone, I'm sorry that we're not going to get to you on this hour, but we can get to you after the break. But a text message came in. It's a common question people ask a lot about updates on Mike Miller. And unfortunately, I don't have one. We rely on his wife to give us updates, and they were giving frequent updates on the GoFundMe page, but that has stopped a while ago. So I think, as far as his health goes, I don't have an update. And as far as him coming back to the garden hotline, I think that's, he's out indefinitely as far as I know. I will ask, I know that this is a question that comes up quite frequently, and see if I can get some information for you guys and get back to you. But yeah, always a question people are wondering about. But we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll answer more of your gardening questions. 314-436-7900. But before we go to break, I wanted to mention one more small business that you can go and get, some information about plants. You can do some online shopping today to support that small business. It's one that I love, Stark Brothers Nursery. They've been around for over 200 years. They're up in Louisiana, Missouri, and they sell all kinds of fruit trees and shrubs and vines and nut trees, all kinds of good stuff. They have great videos online that teaches you how to grow and prune and take care of their plants. Great resource for new and older gardeners. They also give a 1-year survival guarantee. So go to starkbrothers.com and support that small business. You're listening to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, your host and the director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape here in St. Louis. I am answering all of your garden questions, your plant questions. Are you killing something? Is something looking good? Either way, give us a call. Let's talk about it. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text with your questions. And we have somebody on the line that has been very, very patient. So I don't want to keep Harold waiting much longer because he has been waiting for a while. Harold, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Good snowy morning out there.
That's right.
I have a peace lily, and I've had it for 22 years. And I went on vacation, and the water saucer ran dry on me. And it was very drooping and laying down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've tried to revive it some, but it doesn't want to come back. What is the best thing for me to try to give it CPR and get it back up again?
So how long ago was this? How long have you been trying to revive it?
For a couple of weeks.
Okay. So I think at this point for me, these peace lilies, I love that you've had it for so long. I love when people call in and they've had a plant for that long. I've had a peace lily for a really long time as well. And it's an important plant to me, but I almost killed it in a move. And I stuck it in the back of a U-Haul and it got really cold on the trip. And when I opened the back of the U-Haul, the thing really looked sad and wilty. And it didn't really bounce back like I thought it would. I thought I would get it inside and it would warm up. But once these things get past that kind of permanent wilting point, which is when they just get so dried out that those leaves may not ever recover. And sometimes it means that your plant is going to die. But hopefully with this peace lily, if you kind of keep it watered for a while, you'll start and consistently watering it. You'll start seeing some new growth coming. I've actually at one point, and I know this seems a little drastic, I have completely cut back my peace lily and just left like an inch or so of all of the little, you know, leaf stems. And then it started pushing out new growth. So I would suspect if you just keep watering it, that you're going to start seeing some new leaves emerge. And as that happens, you can start pruning away some of your other the leaves that are declining or flopping. I would resist, I think, doing any kind of fertilization. When a plant is under stress, I think that you know, pushing for so much new growth might stress it out a little bit more. So if you do a fertilization, I would do a very light fertilization. But we typically don't recommend a lot of fertilization through the winter months anyway. So my advice really is to do some waiting and seeing. Keep it consistently watered. Don't let it dry out. And hopefully you'll start seeing some new growth here in the next week or two.
Okay, well, I have a dipped pot in a large, very large saucer.
Uh-huh.
That I keep full of water.
Sure.
It'll hold about 3/4 of a gallon.
Uh-huh.
So it just takes the water up through the roots as it needs it.
Sure.
So how long should I wait until it pronounce last rites on it?
Are the leaves that are remaining still green?
Yes, they're still green. They just won't support themselves.
Sure. I think you're going to be surprised. I think that if you keep watering it and you know, keep getting it adequate light, that I think it's going to bounce back, especially knowing that the leaves that remain are still green. So that they may not look really great, but they still are photosynthesizing and still trying to do their thing. So I, again, would give it a few more weeks and hopefully you'll start seeing some new growth coming out of it. But these guys are tough, tough plants. So I wouldn't give up on it just yet. Be patient.
Okay, well, my only hope would be to get one. I took some roots and gave to my daughter, and
sure,
hers is doing well. But this is a plant for my wife's funeral.
Yep.
So
I assume, because the one I have is also from a funeral, so they're very important. The other thing you might try, Harold, is to just take a piece out and put it in straight into water. This is kind of how you could propagate these peace lilies. They'll grow straight in water anyway. So you might try to, you know, cut a small piece out of the pot and try to propagate it in water, see if you can get it going that way. So even if the full plant doesn't survive, you could potentially, you know, make a new plant for yourself.
What, just cut off at the bottom of one of the leaves?
Yeah, dig it out so you get the root and everything, and then kind of rinse all that dirt off and then stick it straight into water.
Okay.
All right.
Any root tone on it?
No, I don't think you should need that. I think straight into water, especially if there's roots that are still attached, you should be good.
Okay. All right.
Good luck. All right. Thanks so much for that phone call. We are going to go to a text before we take a quick break. We have a text that came in asking about this person is interested in raised bed veggie gardens. They want to install one in the spring. And they said, can you please describe the process? And they're specifically interested in the best type of enclosure and what to fill it with. So the option of what kind of raised veggie bed is really endless. Obviously you could build one out of wood. Those can tend to biodegrade over time. So if you do, I would use some kind of cedar. That is really the toughest, longest lasting out there. There's also all kinds of really cool metal ones that are out and about. You can find them, a lot of times online or out at your local garden centers. But there's all different shapes and sizes and depths. I actually bought one for a client a couple years ago that was, I think it was a couple feet deep, but you kind of mix and match the size, whether it was round or a long kind of oval shape. But it has great, there's a bunch of really great colors. At my house, I actually just used a old trough, for animal watering or whatever. I just unplugged the drain hole and I actually, drilled a few other holes in the bottom of it just to make sure I had adequate drainage. But that is great because it's up high. I have my herbs, and things like that. And I have two of them and they're right by my back door. So I can easily go out there and pick a few herbs or lettuce or whatnot, where I'm not having to bend all the way over. Cause again, lazy gardener. So that has worked really well for me. And then as far as what to fill them with, St. Louis Composting actually has a really great mix. It's called the Raised Veggie Mix. I don't know if they have that in bags or if you have to buy it in bulk, something you can call and ask them about. But regardless, whenever you're making these raised veggie beds, you want to make sure that you have a soil that's going to drain. And it needs to have a lot of organic matter in it. So there are a lot of places that are local that sell topsoil blends or different types of soils that you can use. That are more engineered for using them in these raised veggie beds. I wouldn't go out and just get garden soil or topsoil from your local garden center or big box store, because that's not going to have enough drainage. When you kind of contain the soil, you need to make sure the water has a way to drain through. So having it be a little chunkier, whether it be with some organic matter or a little bit of sand mixed in to help with that drainage component. But again, I know St. Louis Composting has a really great raised veggie mix. That's what I have in my all of my raised veggie beds. Again, I'm not sure if they have those in bags or what, but they do deliver it, or you can go and get a scoop in the back of a pickup truck and fill it that way. I also know that some people don't necessarily want to spend, if you have a larger raised bed like mine, you can put, cardboard down at the bottom and make sure you level it out. And then I've seen people put things like leaves or other kind of organic material to fill in a little bit at the bottom, so they're not having to put as much soil in there. They could use a little less soil and have some organic matter down at the base. That can help save some money that way. But really just making sure that you're starting whatever kind of enclosure that you go with. I think the biggest thing is making sure that you spend the money on high quality soil, because that's going to dictate everything from here on out is getting that soil right. So getting it from a good local supplier and trying to avoid that kind of bagged stuff if you can. So that's my advice for the raised veggie stuff. You can do that now. You can start getting this ready so you're ready to go in the spring, or wait till late winter to get it going. But it is sometimes a good winter project and something to get you outside on some of those warmer winter days, prepping and getting ready for your veggie season. So hope that helps. And we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And I am here today braving the snow to answer your gardening questions. The number to call or text 314-436-7900. And we're not going to mess around. We're going to go straight to the phones. Connie has been waiting for a while. Connie, go ahead with your question.
Hi, Michelle. It's a quick question. I have a 12-foot shrub. I don't know what kind it is, but the snow weight, has it bent over in half?
Yep.
And I wondered if I should shake the snow off or what.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier. This is a real problem. No, it's no problem. I'm happy to answer it again. It's a real issue with the type of snow that we're having today. It's really wet. It's accumulating really fast. So there is a true risk for some of our shrubs to kind of break under the weight. So if you are really concerned about it, you know, some shrubs break easier than others, and without knowing what kind it is, you know, it's hard to say. But if you wanted to take like a broom outside and knock some of that snow off, that could be helpful with this kind of thing. It just helps to kind of avoid that breakage if it's going to happen. But if you can brave it and get out there and knock some of it off, it might be, if you're concerned, if it's bowing over significantly, you might just go.
It looks pretty bad.
Yeah, just kind of hit it with a broom.
Okay, great. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck to you. And the snow, it is coming down out there. I know that it is slowing down, and I believe in the St. Louis area we're switching over to rain. So not sure how long this beautiful winter scene is going to last out there. And today is Small Business Saturday. So, you know, I know we want to support our local businesses, but it might be a little too treacherous out there. You know, I was scrolling some of the social medias on the break, and I did see that some of the places are still open. I've seen a lot of cancellations for today as well. But Parkview Gardens in St. Charles by my house posted a picture of their parking lot that was freshly plowed and said you would stay warm in their greenhouses. So, you know, things like that. Here's the other thing. Shop online if you can for some of these local businesses that we want to support today and throughout the holiday season. And, you know, some of the other things that you can do to support our local garden centers and nurseries and green industry places around town is to go, and this doesn't cost any money either, but you can go online. You know, I know at Pointer, we're always wanting to get those positive 5-star Google reviews. So if you've had an experience with, you know, a business around town that has done an exceptional good job, or are, you know, this tried and true place that you know you can rely on for good quality plants or customer service or knowledgeable customer service, you know, you can always go online and leave a positive review. You can follow small businesses on their social media and comment or like their posts. You can buy a gift card, you know, and share it with your friends. Tell people about some of these really great businesses that we have here in St. Louis. But there are so many ways, even if you can't get out with this weather today, to support a local business on Small Business Saturday. You know, I know a lot of places have, you know, some events and Christmassy and holiday events coming up. Some of them were supposed to be today and even tomorrow and in the weeks to come. Just keep those folks in mind when you're out doing your holiday shopping. That it's, you know, winter can be a hard time for the green industry because, you know, we're not planting. People aren't buying as many shrubs and trees. There's not as much work to do for the landscapers sometimes. So the winter can be hard for the professional green industry person. So try to support our local folks if you can. Up next, we are going to go to Bob. Bob, go ahead with your question.
Good morning, Michelle. I just want to say thank you for carrying on the tradition of Mike Miller and for mentioning him this morning on the garden hotline, and hope he's doing well. And so I would say this question. What would Michelle and Mike say about a French lace wygelia?
So
how to trim it and when to trim it?
So this is a great question. And again, you know, I know that I, you know, Mike Miller is, everybody loves him so much and was such a big part of, you know, this gardening community for so long. So it is, you know, nice to mention his name, and I wish I had more information for everybody, but a wygelia I think is a good, plant. What was the name of the cultivar that you mentioned?
It's a French lace is what this is the words that it has right here.
Awesome.
Wagelia.
I'm not familiar with that cultivar in general, but Wagelia is a very common shrub. And for those of you guys that don't know what it is, there's a more old-fashioned kind of Wagelia that has been around for a while. They tend to be a lot larger, but they have kind of like a bell-shaped flower. Most of the time it's like a pinkish color. But they do mostly pretty well in our area, Wagelia in general. Again, I'm not sure about that cultivar. But in terms of pruning, these guys will typically bloom from like June to July timeframe. So I like to prune them just after flowering, but you can also prune them now. That it might just delay a little bit of the bloom a bit on these guys. But so really right after flowering with these is technically when you should do it. But again, you can prune it now. You might just cut off a few of the flower buds or delay that flowering a bit. But I think it's a good Wagelia in general is a good shrub. And we see those a lot around town in our area.
Yeah, can I ask you how much do you take off? And mine, I had one it's probably about 7 foot tall, and the other one I experimented with and had cut it a couple of different times, and actually both of them, but one of them looks like I may have cut it back too far. You know, the woody material just started to like rot.
Yeah, so these guys will benefit from what we call a renewal pruning or rejuvenation pruning from time to time. So you can do it a couple different ways. You can go in and remove like a third of all of the older canes, so things that have been around longer, the bigger ones, the ones that might not be as healthy. And you can do it that way by just removing those. You can also, these guys can take a hard cutback. So if you need to cut them in half, again, it might look a little bit rough for the first growing season or until it flushes back out, but they can take a hard cut back. I wouldn't do this every year, you know, every 3 to 5 years. If you really need to do a more severe haircut, they can definitely take it.
Okay, awesome. That's you answered my questions, and I appreciate all your time with the show.
Thank you so much, Bob, for the question. All right, guys, we will take a quick break. You are listening to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape, and your host today and every Saturday trying to answer your gardening questions. 314-436-7900. That is the number to call or text with any of your garden-related questions. So we've all made it through Thanksgiving, which is good. And I hope that you guys have all kind of found the time to reflect on things that you're thankful for. And, you know, some of these calls coming in today and even the text question asking, you know, about Mike Miller and the questions and comments that come in about him every week, you know, really remind me and make me thankful for, you know, everything that comes with being a part of the garden community. You know, I'm lucky enough to do this as my profession. I get paid to literally, you know, like answer people's questions. It's my passion. It's the thing that I love to do outside of work, and I get to do it for my job. So just really grateful that I get to be, you know, a steward of our, you know, environment. I get to be creative, and I get to be of service to people. So, and now I get to talk to you guys every week and help you guys learn and kind of discover things about gardening and help you reconnect with nature or things like that. So it means a lot to me to help with, you know, answering questions about, you know, when to prune things or about how to help make our planet better, and how to help, you know, even make our communities healthier and ourselves healthier by, you know, getting out there and putting our hands in the soil and getting some dirt underneath our fingernails and being part of this garden hotline. You know, it's a show that has been around for like 30 years. And I get to follow in the footsteps of Mike Miller and you guys with your calls and how much you guys loved and appreciated him in the show over the years. It's, you know, it's really an honor for me to talk to you every Saturday and get to contribute to this legacy of KMOX and the Garden Hotline, you know, and to help, you know, nurture people in gardens and the planet. And we're doing it one question or one phone call at a time. And sometimes that kind of maybe feels a little simple. But to me, it's, you know, I get to keep learning. I never stop learning with gardening. And I never stop getting to meet cool people that also enjoy gardening. And that's, you know, really humbling to me. And it teaches me all the time to have the gratitude for my job and for my life and all the things that I get to do through, you know, the simple act of being a plant nerd. So, yeah, so just really something that, you know, today, just all the phone calls and questions about Mike Miller really put me in the frame of mind to just be thankful about all of this and getting to be a gardener. And helping to bring people together, you know, whether it, with gardening, it's, you know, like, is it your neighbor sharing their tomato harvest or, you know, sharing your seeds like we talked about at the top of the hour or teaching, you know, my nieces and nephews about plants on a walk or even our community that is coming together after the May tornado and helping, you know, plant new trees and clean up after that really awful time. You know, we get to do that as gardeners, you know, and you know, the world I think can feel really fragmented and polarizing. And sometimes with gardening, you know, it's about collaboration and community and care and all of those things that, you know, are essential, I think, for us as humans. So yeah. Anyway, thank you guys for letting me be a part of all of your Saturday mornings and inviting me in weird little ways into your gardens and your home. So I appreciate it. I'm going to stop talking about that right now because we have a phone call. So we're going to go straight to that. We have Luella on the line. Go ahead with your question. Are you there?
Hello. Thank you for your wonderful answers.
Yeah.
I have a coral rose, knockout rose, that I'd like to plant where a locust tree used to be. That was cut down about a year ago. I've amended the soil, lots of compost. I've got some pine needles around it now. Is it a good place for a coral knockout rose to be planted?
Sure. Yeah, I saw your text. I was getting ready to get to it. So thanks for your text and for your phone call. You know, knockout roses, or let's start with planting where there used to be a tree. You know, we get that question a lot. And, you know, a lot of times my response would be to try not to plant, or at least, you know, if you're putting a big tree back in where a big tree came out. You know, a lot of times there's so much of that existing or the old root material still underground. So it's not always great to plant right where that was again. If you had somebody come in and really do a good job of grinding out the stump and removing as much of that as possible, and it sounds like you have some good soil and compost in that area now. So I think if you have enough soil and you're able to, you know, dig a good hole and have some soil and compost deep enough to kind of house the root ball of your plant, then I think you should be fine with planting that. Now, I will say, you know, winter sometimes is a little bit of a not a great time for roses. So, you know, if you've already purchased it, you can go ahead and put it in the ground. But winter roses do tend to get a little bit of winter damage from time to time. So if you do plant it now, I would make sure you're really heavily mulching it to make sure that it stays protected. If you can, you know, like plant it in a more protected area, and just, you know, again, winter damage for roses can be can be a bad thing.
Thank you. So I should not plant it right now, but I should just keep it in my old garden, which is fenced in.
Yeah, if you can protect it, maybe cover it with some leaves or some mulch, and then hopefully get it through the winter, and then plant it in the spring. But you shouldn't have a problem planting it where that tree is if you have enough soil.
Thank you so much, and thank you for coming in on a bad day.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the call. So guys, again, back to the Small Business Saturday. You know, I know that it can be hard to get out on a weather day like this, but I wanted to mention another online business that is local. It's actually in Jefferson City, but it's called Missouri Wildflowers Nursery. You know, they have been around since, I think, the 80s. So they grow and sell just hundreds of species of native Missouri plants. And they have plants to purchase, and they have seed to purchase. It's really one of their big things. And right now is actually a really great time today on this snowy day. If you are going to go out and do some gardening, what I would recommend, maybe once the wind dies down, but sowing seeds for native plants, you know, really you can do that from November through February timeframe. So right now is a great time. If you haven't ordered any of your seed that you want to get down, maybe it's for a Savannah area, or you have an area that's got some wet soil and you want to put down some native wildflower seeds. They have a great selection of all of that kinds of stuff. You can order like individual species in packets, and they come in little packets like you would, you know, cover a small area, or you can buy them by the ounce or even by the pound or by the acre if you have a large area that you're overseeding. But Missouri Wildflowers Nursery, mowildflowers.net, is a great organization, a great company that is local to Missouri that you could support today and buy some seeds. I think you can even reserve some plants for next season, but they are around a lot. You can go to their location in Jefferson City, but they come to a lot of our local events around town, local events that have, you know, plant sales and things like that. So they are around town a lot during the growing season, but right now is a great time to order your seeds and get those ready to put outside in the next, you know, month or so. It's a great time to put out our wild flowers and get those going. We are going to take a phone call from Donna. Donna, go ahead with your question.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I am prone to never doing today what I can put up until tomorrow, and now tomorrow is here. So my hyacinths are not planted. Is there any salvaging their viability for next year? Or
for sure. We actually at Pointer have not finished all of our bulb planting yet. We started a couple weeks ago. We've had a couple rain out situations, so we haven't finished ours either. So still plenty of time. The ground is not frozen. In fact, Thanksgiving is actually a great time to do a lot of your, it's kind of like our unofficial kind of timeline of bulb planting is around Thanksgiving time. So as long as the ground's not frozen and you can work the soil this fall, you still have time to get those in the ground.
Oh, what great news. Thank you so much. I'll try to do better next year.
I always say that, but good luck. Thanks for the question. Guys, we're going to take a break. We have one final segment left of the Garden Hotline. 314-436-7900 is the number to call or text. Not sure how many folks we'll get to in the next segment, but we'll do as much as we can. You are listening to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We are back to the final segment of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I'm the Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And I am here every Saturday answering your garden questions. Since we don't have a lot of time, we're going to jump right back into George. George, go ahead with your question.
Even though the day seems kind of terrible, I have some trees that I have not planted yet and wanted to know, I don't think the ground's frozen yet. Can I still plant them?
Yes. Are you going to go out and plant them today? Is that what you're saying?
No, not today, not until it, but I When's the last time I can plant them, I guess?
Really, if you can get a shovel in the ground, you can plant them. So as long as the ground is not frozen solid, I would say you can do it. I know we have some really cold temperatures coming up in the next few days. But if things warm up and the ground kind of thaws out, you can definitely keep planting. The other thing I will mention is that we need to be careful of frozen root balls as well. So if your root ball of your plant is frozen, definitely don't do planting in those conditions. You can damage root balls when they're frozen. So your root ball needs to be not frozen, and the ground needs to be not frozen. Other than that, you can do planting of trees and shrubs. Really, you could do it all winter if the ground's not frozen.
So do you think it's not going to be, the root balls won't be frozen today or tomorrow or
two days
from now?
Yeah, I think like Monday the temperatures, I think overnight tomorrow. I don't think they're frozen right now. We're right at freezing. But anytime we're under, 32 degrees for more than, 4 or 5 hours, you really start getting those root balls are frozen in the pot. So really, you're just looking for one of those warmer days where we haven't had a freezing overnight temperature for long periods of time. But you can kind of stick your finger in the top of the pot, or if it's B&B tree, you can kind of tell if it's frozen or not. We just don't want to damage any of those roots.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. I hope you get those planted, but not today. Guys, we're going to go to the text line. Had a couple questions coming in. One of them says they're glad I got here safely. I am too. Now I got to make it home. But they wanted to keep some leaves for use in the spring. And they want to know how they should store the leaves. They currently have them in covered big bins. How do we store the leaves? Really, I think leaving them in the bins is fine. I have some in piles. I kind of blew all the leaves from my grass into my garden beds. I have a compost pile. I have an area where I have actually stored some leaves. I made like a little wire fence enclosure around where my fig tree is, and I load that up with leaves, and then I can use that in the spring whenever I take that down. And use some of those leaves for other purposes after I'm done with them. But really, I mean, they're going to decompose a little bit, which is good wherever you put them over the winter. But storing them in a bin is fine if you're just wanting to keep them around for use in whatever way in the spring. But yeah, and it doesn't really matter how you're storing those leaves. I wouldn't necessarily put them in like a plastic bag or someplace where they can get moldy and gross, but any place outside would be fine, and even in like one of your lawn care bins or your lawn waste bins would be fine as well. We have another question. It's basically a question about some saplings that have been allowed to grow on a hillside. They're calling them a cypress type volunteer. And they're asking basically, are these trees okay to be left there or should they be removed? So, you know, without knowing what kind of tree those are, I don't necessarily want to say yes or no. In general, leaving these different types of seedlings, where they are is fine, especially, you know, like if it's away from your house, if it's not up near something that it will, be destructive with. I always wonder, though, like these kinds of seedlings happen because they're from a weedier tree. So, you know, a cypress type tree, that makes me think it might be a juniper of some kind or, a you know, our native juniper that can be a little bit weedy. So I always worry about that. When a weed tree seeds itself in my yard, you know, it got there from being a little weedy. So do I want to have more of those weeds popping up? Those weed trees popping up everywhere or not, but I would definitely try to identify and be for sure what variety of tree you have that has volunteered in your yard, and then make your decision based on that. Is it an invasive tree? Is it a tree that's, you know, native and good? That's how I would determine. And if it's away from the house and on a hillside, then it should be good to go. So. Guys, we are at the end of the show. I thank everybody for listening in today. Think good thoughts as I try to navigate my way home. If you guys have any more questions or want to stay connected with me, you can always find me, pointerlandscape.com. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram at STL Plant Nerd. On both of those sites, you guys can, I like to post good information. I like to post about events coming up. So follow me there. Again, don't forget, it is Small Business Saturday. It's treacherous out there. So do what you can to support our local businesses. Tuesday is Giving Tuesday. If you're looking for something to donate your money to, think about Forest Relief. Think about the Urban League. You know, great places to give your money to. Thanks again for listening to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser West. This is 104.1 KMOX.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.